Hey, this is Mateo Lane.
I'm Emma Willman.
And this is Inside the Closet.
Inside the Closet.
We're back with another episode.
Back with another episode. It's just, what are you, in L.A. right now? Where are you?
I'm in L.A., yeah. I'm in L.A. until Friday, and that is my niece's first birthday, so I'm going to Boston for the weekend.
What if someone was like, oh, how old is she after you said her first birthday?
Yeah.
But at least you're saying first birthday. You're not like, she's 28 months old.
Oh, God, I couldn't even do the math on that. I had someone dropped out of this, like, tour in Australia, so I got an offer in to go do a couple shows in Australia, which I would have taken, except for I would have missed her first birthday. And I always, like, cancel family stuff or move stuff around for entertainment, so I was like, no, I have to be there. Like, I have a hard line on this. And I thought this was kind of funny, but the booker of it, who's like a agent on it, said, he was like, you know, this business doesn't wait for anybody. I'm like, you know, I was supposed to go home to a family thing one weekend to see my mother, and then my mother died. And I was like, oh my God. And then he goes, yeah, so thank God I wasn't home and watched her drop dead. He's like, that's why I don't go to family stuff. You don't want to watch someone drop dead. And I was like, oh my God, I'm definitely going to the birthday party. Like, it had the opposite effect, but I was like, entertainment people are insane. That's crazy.
And well, also in my head, you're like, oh, I shouldn't go to Australia. I'm like, yeah, because everything can poison you there.
Oh, really?
I just, no, but I mean, I feel like, you know, like, yeah, it's the deadliest swallow of a deadliest pigeon, the deadliest cloud. I'm like, I just, you know what? I can't handle the stress. Also, I can't even fly to Vegas. I went to Vegas this past weekend.
How was it?
It was good. I can't even handle like 4 hours on a plane. I can't imagine adding 20 hours onto 4 hours.
The flight to Vegas is it's long.
Yeah, it's basically going to LA. You're going across the country. I have to say, the shows are really good in Vegas at the Cellar, but God, I hate Vegas as a city. I mean, first of all, it's 110 degrees. Secondly, you know, it's like the Strip. I don't even know if the Strip is that great. The Strip is just like weird Disney World. And let me just ask you something. What the fuck are Donnie and Marie still doing? Because
I thought they were dead.
No, they're alive and kicking it at wherever fucking hotel they're at. It's the Donnie and Marie show. Donnie and Marie what? It was like the number one show for 3 years. And I was like, all right, first of all, they're both like, they've got to be in their early hundreds. And secondly, like, what are they doing? And I was asking every single audience at Comedy Cellar, I was like, what are they doing? And this lesbian couple was like, they do everything. They sing opera, they sing rock, they sing jazz. They're really talented. And I was like, oh, I guess I should go see their show instead of just making fun of them without having seen them. And they were like, you should. But, you know.
I thought they were dead. I didn't know that.
They're alive and well. Well, maybe not alive and well, but, you know. Can I just say something else that's been on my mind that I cannot stop laughing at?
They are alive and well. This is crazy. They must
well,
be elixir
okay.
for life.
I take
or
back the
robots.
Well part. They're definitely alive. You took the words out of my mouth. Have you seen the robots at the airport?
I saw one robot. It didn't, but this is the thing. It looked like R2-D2, but it didn't, like, I want
yes.
a robot that looks like a person.
Back to the R2-D2. How has no one talked about this? My cousin sent me a video of this R2-D2, like, the size of half of a car, rolling down the sidewalk, telling people not to take unsolicited drivers. I thought, is this like, I literally thought to myself, this has to be a joke.
It's a really slow-moving machine, too. It looks like, it's like the size of half a car, but it's like shaped like a giant bullet, and it looks like R2-D2. It's totally weird. When I was there, it wasn't saying anything. When I saw it, I was like, R2-D2, and I took a bunch of pictures of it, but then I kind of left and forgot about it, but it's totally weird.
Well, let me read to you, because I did some research on it, and I couldn't stop laughing about it, because I was reading about, like, what does it do? How much does it cost? Blah, 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 blah. So this came from one of the articles. It said, several other female passengers said that they were irked when the machine rolled up and ogled them Thursday. It was coming right to me. And at first, I was like, what the fuck is that? Said Chris Cabagnat, which is, what kind of name is that? 31. After the robot sat 10 inches away from her for a minute. Strangely,
also, I like that they say sat. These things don't sit. Like, it remained there.
And then it said, when you get close to it, it says, you are in my personal space. And then...
no, it doesn't. This has to be a joke.
And this is the capabilities. It says, capabilities include video surveillance, the ability to broadcast recorded and live messages in the event of an incident, and the ability to ensure it avoids people and objects in its path. Well, you know what? It's just a security camera and an intercom that's in everyone's way. I can't
think of a more...
The robot, and it's literally the size of a minivan.
So the robot says, you're in my personal space?
Yes, it literally says, like if you get too close to it, it'll say, like, you're in my personal space. And then, well, the most absurd thing is, like, well, what? First of all, it's not securing anybody. It's not doing anything that a security guard or that a security camera can't do. And then on top of it, if you're being mugged or murdered, what is it going to do? Roll up to you and whop you? Like,
You're in my personal space. Then the person gets so annoyed, they just, you're like, you know what, I don't even want to stay and finish killing this person. I'm just going to leave.
And
you're
also, who's going to take authority from a robot? If that robot rolled up to me and was like, sir, you can't, I'd be like, fuck you, you're a robot. But when a real person shows up, then I'll listen. And also, the people who are, like, taking you into taxis that they're not supposed to, I'd rather go with the person because it's a person.
Right. What if the robot like knew you and was like, "It's nice to see you, Mateo."
Then I would be like, "All right, well, this is the end of civilization as we know it. This is it."
You're a very funny comedian. You'd be like, "All right, maybe robots aren't so bad."
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about it. Like, if you wanted a sex robot, what if the sex robot looked like that? Just like
no!
Half dildo that sits in your... It says, don't get more than 5 feet away. Like, if you get 10 inches near it, it'll say to you, like, you're in my personal space.
With my luck, that would be the sex robot that I would accidentally order. Like, I would accidentally order the wrong kind of robot, and then I'd have some fucking bitch-ass robot that's like, stop looking at me. And I'd be like, I made you! You're in my house! And they kind of make me leave. I'll be like, oh my god, now I'm held hostage by a fucking robot.
Yeah, it really looked like R2-D2, but less gay somehow.
I looked up the Donnie and Marie tickets. Guess what?
What?
There are a lot of tickets available to buy.
Of course there are.
Maybe.
And how much are Donnie and Marie tickets?
Absolutely.
If they're over $100, I'm throwing myself into the river.
$116 marked down to $73.
Of course. Because who's going to see the show? And in the poster of Marie, which, by the way, she's starting to look a little Michael Jackson-y. It looks like they're both, like, I mean, blinking, like, SOS. I really think that they, at that point, if I were Donnie and Marie, because I'm sure they're very talented. I mean, I'm making fun of a show I haven't seen. But at that point, I would just hologram myself.
Yeah, call it a day. I saw Donnie years ago in Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I think I was probably like 8, and I think that was when I thought he was retired. I thought he passed away like soon after that.
No, he's alive. He's performing in Vegas. Although I do feel like Vegas is a weird mix of entertainers that are like half like that go to their like entertainment graveyard, and then the other half of it is like really popular people. You know what I mean? Like Lady Gaga is going to be there, and J-Lo, and then it's Donnie and Marie. I'm like, how are we all performing on the same plane?
Showbiz, baby. How did Mateo went with Kiki? How did Kiki like Vegas?
Kiki liked Vegas. You know, it's weird because it's like, I think people think like Vegas, da 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 da, but we both were kind of like, I don't know if we're like Vegas people. The pool wasn't like, it was always crowded and there was a lot of kids, so like just going to the pool was like, you know, kind of an asshole. But, and then one day we were going to go to the pool, and then we walk outside, and all of a sudden everyone in the pool is leaving the pool. We're like, what is going on? And they're like,
someone
was hit by a foam board, so we're evacuating the pool. I was like, what? Like, it wasn't a palm tree that fell on them, it was a foam board.
I thought it would be someone pooped in the pool.
No, I mean, I think they keep it open if people poop in the pool. I mean, if all Vegas pools have seen worse than poop, and it's like cum and shit, and it's just a mess.
Did any of the kids look at you guys funny as a gay couple?
No, you know, it's funny because like in Vegas, like gay couples are like the least of like the crazy things. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
It's, you know, but there's a lot of just, you know what I can't understand is these people who just sit at these fucking, like, penny slots all day. They have an oxygen tank. They've got a pack of cigarettes. They're drinking and they're all day. And it's
at
like
6 a.m. Yeah.
At 6 a.m. They're halfway through a pack of Marlboro Lights and a beer, and they've got an oxygen tank, and they can barely fit in that chair, and they're playing the Wizard of Oz penny slot, and it's like, and it's like, what is this film for anyone?
Did you guys go to, I saw something on Facebook, that, did you guys go to the Chippendales?
Yes, I went to, oh my God, I went to Chippendales. That's right. I brought Kiki to Chippendales, and we went with Des Bishop and Liz at the Cellar, and it was, first of all, because I've seen, you know, I've seen Magic Mike, I've seen Thunder Down Under, and now I've seen Chippendales. And Chippendales was, again, it's like a show that looks like Laser Zone filled with men who don't want to be there, and the dancing is horrific.
The dancing wasn't good. They must have wanted Kike to be a dancer.
One of the dancers came up to Kike and, like, sat on his lap.
No.
And I was like, yeah, of course. I mean, come on. Do you think any of them are straight?
Well, there was this guy, someone wrote a post that said they felt like you and I were competing to see who could fall in love faster, which, first of all, is a ridiculous thing to say. But also, I was thinking about it, and like, all right, you're a crazy person, because what do you think the competition here is? Mateo, first of all, that would never be a thing to compete about. But second, Mateo's in like an amazing, loving relationship, and then I'm over here, like, in Disasterville. There's no, that would be like saying, like, John Goodman and an Olympic pole vaulter were competing in a pole vaulting championship. Like, there'd be no competition. It'd be like, no, me being John Goodman, like, there's nothing's happening. But someone said that, and I thought that was such a ridiculous.
Someone really said that we're in a competition for finding love. That
it says it seems like the hosts are competing with each other to see who can fall in love quicker. And I was like, well,
first of all, yeah. They must not listen to the show if they're referring to us as the hosts.
True.
I mean, it's like Mateo and Emma. And I don't think that there's a competition to find love for each other. I mean, because I won. No, I think, you know, can you imagine?
Well, for two reasons. One, that's not a thing to compete about. Two, Mateo's in a loving relationship, and it's like, hi, have you heard about anything I've ever said before? There's no competition.
I don't think it's a competition. I think it's weird that people try and pit things against each other that way. You know what I mean?
Well, so there's also been, like, so after the last episode, when I was like, so I loved having Zara on. I thought that was so interesting about like the sex and the love and all that stuff. So after the last episode, things were like really good with Canada, just fun. And we had a whole talk about how what we wanted was to be like respectful of each other and like just have a good time and all that. So I was really excited to see her, because she's supposed to be she's in LA at the same time I am. So I was really excited to see her. And then there was this day, I think the day before we left for LA, she started texting me like, I'm feeling really weird. So she had a lot of stomach problems. So I just assumed it was about that. She's like, I feel weird. Not saying what she felt weird about. Then we get in on Sunday night and I go to see her. Something's really weird. But I was kind of like, I had wanted to be working on an audition. So we were both kind of off. And then the next morning she kept talking about like how she's not really going to have any time while we're in LA. It felt very passive aggressive. Like I wanted to just be like, are you trying to tell me that you don't want to hang out? Because it's all good. Just like, I mean, that would be a pain, but just say it. Like, it was felt very passive aggressive. So I drop her off and then I go to leave and then I stick my head back into the house and I go, hey, what's up? Like, because things have been so good in New York. It's like, what's going on? Like, this is just supposed to be fun. What's up? Like, do you need a break? And she was like, yeah, I want a break. And I was like, the problem is that I have to get it out of you. Like, respect me enough to tell me you want to go on a break, so I'm not the one like pulling it out of you. But I was like,
right.
Okay, cool, good luck. So then I leave.
But did she say why she wanted a break, or she just wanted
to? Well, that
a break?
Was the thing. I figured it out. But the reason, so that's what bothered me, because I was like, it just seems so like we had such a nice time in New York, just like casual. And for me to find someone that's not necessarily like looking for a relationship, but is fun to be with and I have good sex with, oh my God, that's like a unicorn. So I'm like very excited. You know, I was excited about this prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So then, but so that what bothered me, I was just like, so like, wow, I can't read this person at all. Like, so wishy-washy. I blocked her and everything. I was like, I just got to like get, I don't want this like drama. I can't take this like extreme, because it's supposed to be like, you can say anything, it's fun. But then if you can't say what's on your mind, what the fuck are we doing?
Right.
So it comes out. So like later that night, she's like, Oh, I think I asked her, actually. I think she didn't tell me. I said, did you listen to the podcast or something? And she goes, yeah. And I go, oh, that's why you feel weird. Because on the podcast, I was joking around being like, I love her. We're going to get married. Which is such an exaggeration of anything. So then she's like, yeah, and I felt weird about that. And I was like, yeah, I mean, of course you did.
She felt weird about that. And not that we were saying negative things, but like,
oh, I don't know how many. Hey, I don't know. But I was like, I wish you had just said to me, I listened to the podcast and that made me feel weird. Because that I would have understood. And then I wouldn't have gotten mad at you. I would have been like, oh my God, I completely understand. I'm sorry you had to hear that. I don't hold it against you for listening. I would too. In a perfect world, someone wouldn't. And I need to figure out how to marry that thing. I can tell you from the heart that I was exaggerating and joking, but that wasn't very nice of me either. So fuck me. But things are like,
I like how rational we are with ourselves when we argue ourselves.
Oh, well, that was the thing. I was like, look, my whole problem why I blocked you and everything was because I was like, oh my God, she's so like wishy-washy and like, so I can't like keep a thought. But then when I found out it was the podcast, I was like, oh, nope, I'm an asshole. Good to go. See you later. Bye. So
it's easier just to put the blame on yourself. Do you feel like any of this was like self-sabotaging? Like you were doing it because, I don't know.
When I said that on the podcast, like, I love her, I want to get married, to me, that seemed, like, pretty obviously that it was a joke.
I don't know, because I said that about Kike the second I met him, and it's so far not
right.
A joke.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it was just, like, such an, yeah, I mean, I did feel, like, a real excitement around her. I really liked her. But it was like, you know, I mean, I could have, in a different world, like, could she be someone that, I mean, now, no. Now, God, no. It's so dramatic. We've been dating under, like, 3 months, and the amount of just clusterfuckery, which I really think is related to age. But I am – if I ever date someone that's, like – when I'm like, oh, yeah, we met, they lied about their age, and they have a girlfriend, just punch me in the face. Because it's like, just maybe this person isn't the most reliable type of person to be getting to know.
Well, I think we're sort of backtracking on what I was talking about to you earlier, and just maybe it's not the greatest thing in the world for you.
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, because the whole thing was just supposed to be like fun and respectful, and then we just like kind of turned it on its head. But to be fair to her, yeah, I would have been super jarred if I heard her say that too, because I would have been like, wait, I thought we were just like trying to like get to know each other and have it be. So I get it. I totally get it. I mean, she sent me.
Well, how do you feel about it right now? Because do you feel sad? Do you feel remorse?
I was really sad yesterday. And this is the other thing I'm happy to report. Since I've been in Cancun, not only have I not been drinking, I have a new philosophy on life.
Go on.
Hear this?
Yes.
I eat gummy bears every morning. Changes everything.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I'm joking.
My new philosophy in life is this. Okay. Because a lot of the reasons that I'll like drink or whatever it was because I'd be like, I'd be like working all the time. And then I'd be like, I hate my life. There's no like stability in it. It's just like a cluster ball of like work and then trying to figure stuff out. Even though that's so like pig-headed of me because I really do have a pretty cool like life that I'm grateful for. So I was like, but what I'm going to do is, every day, I'm going to try to do something where I can manage and like my life better. Like, if it's a thing like trying to go to yoga or, like, seeing a friend more or saying no to stuff so I have more time to myself or making sure I, like, am not hungry and eating at the right times or being better with money, like, all stuff like that, like, so I don't feel so out of control. And it's been helping so much. And I haven't drank. In 2 weeks, but more than that, because it's not really necessarily the drinking, it's the things you're trying to escape whenever you're doing what it is. I've actually been happier. So when this shitty thing happened yesterday, I was like, okay, I just have to feel my feelings. I have to feel my feelings. Feel my feelings.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing with you is that you and I are similar in the sense that we'd like to feel certain feelings. So like, I'm very comfortable feeling anger, and I'm very comfortable feeling whatever that feeling is, adrenaline on stage.
Those are connected. Because anger is an adrenaline thing. And then also, I think sometimes self-pity, but I turn that into anger. And then Yeah.
But that's right. That's what I was going to say is like, I think it's what's hard to latch onto is sadness and, you know, feeling sorry for
discomfort
in a lot of ways. Discomfort. And that happens
at first
a lot.
I was mad.
Right.
And when I didn't know why she all of a sudden did the switch and was just being so strange to me, that's when I was like, okay, I don't have time for this. Like, that's why I was mad. I was like, get out of here. Like, what the hell? And then when I found out it was the podcast, I was like, oh my God, of course you felt weird. And
do you feel like you don't want to talk about future stuff on the podcast because of it?
I don't know. I mean,
it's also okay to keep some stuff private. I mean, the problem is that we always, as comedians, want to like say everything that's happening in our lives all the time. And then it's like when something actually, somebody important is in your life, you're like, oh, well, I don't want to fuck this up because I'm not using this for material. I'm enjoying this because I enjoy this person.
Yeah, and I love sharing stuff with you guys, and then people like write in with their stuff. I don't know. I mean, I think it's completely unfair to expect someone you're with if not listen. You know.
I asked Kike today because we went through this thing today because I was like, I'm realizing I'm a boring person, and the truth of the matter is like all I.
You are not a boring person.
Well, no. Here's the thing: is like I'm calling myself that. I literally just work. My fun is work. All I do is work. I have shows, and the thing is, I enjoy that. I enjoy working. I enjoy being at shows. I enjoy the grind. I enjoy the competition. I enjoy I love all of it. And I'm surrounded by people who are very like-minded. And now I have Kike here, and we're here together, and we're trying to build a life together. And he's asking me questions like, oh, what do you do for fun? And I'm like, I felt like saying whitewater rafting. I was like,
yeah,
work,
exactly.
Work. I'm like, I don't have hobbies. I don't have a lot of friends outside of comedy. I don't know where to go to dance. I don't know where fun places are to
eat. You don't know where to go to dance?
I don't know where to go. I have 6 shows on Friday. 6.
That's great.
Of course it's great. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, I don't expect Kike to come with it to every show.
No.
Because one, that puts a pressure on me because now I'm like in work mode and I'm in my quote unquote office. You know, and it's like I'm trying to work on material, work on this, and then the other part of me is like, oh God, how do I worry about keeping him okay and tagging him along and making sure he's not being neglected? And then, you know, he doesn't have a lot of friends here in America, so I'm like, I feel like today's the first day my heart sort of feels like split because I'm like, I don't know how to make everybody happy. And I also
How's he doing in the States? Like, is he like how's he feeling about it?
He's super happy to be here, and I mean, we're doing great things. Like, I got to take him to Vegas. Next week, I'm taking him to Chicago. Then we're going to D.C. Like, it's not like it's boring by any means, but, you know, it's like...
I think you definitely don't ever need to worry about entertaining someone. You know what I mean? Like, that's not...
I don't think entertaining is the right word. I think it's more like, you know, I have a boyfriend, and there's stuff that he's going to want to do. Not everything is under the... Not everything is my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the sacrifice I'm making right now is that not everything in my life is my life. I mean, typically, it's my life. I wake up when I want. I eat what I want. I go to the gym when I want. I could lay in bed all day. I could write. I could call friends. Like, you know, now I have someone here, and it's like I need to also hear that person and make the effort to do things that they want to do. And it's just hard to have that balance because, like, yesterday I had I was shooting with MTV all day, and then I had this meeting, and then, you know, I got like a certain amount of time, then I had 2 phone calls, and then, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to go to the gym.
That's so okay. You work. Like that, like, even if you weren't in entertainment, like, yeah, you'd have to be like working. You'd have to be like, got to go to the office.
Right. I guess because it's not a 9 to 5.
What I used to say when I was going into an office that I'd be like, fuck. But
right. Yeah.
When I worked in this office, every morning, my supervisor would come in, and this was his joke, every morning, Mateo, he never missed a day. He would come in, and I had to be there at 8 a.m., he would come, stick his head in, he'd go, hey, Emma, good afternoon. And then I would go, hi, John, and then he'd go, good afternoon, and then he would wait until I went, good afternoon, he'd be like, ah, and then at the end of the day, he'd be like, hey, good morning, and I'd be like...
Yeah, see, if that was my life, that man, I would make it past 24.
I can't believe I even, and he was
That's the most fun thing he could think of.
He was so bad at his job, too. Like, he never did. People like that, I'm like, wow, just, like, the levels of privilege here. Because he was just like a straight white guy, and he just literally
not even privilege, just the insecurity of needing security, a false sense of security.
He could not have existed in that space of just doing absolutely nothing and just like popping around the office if he was like anything but like just a little like just something. Like he was just like, oh god, he was just, and he was a boss. He was like a supervisor.
A boss. I'm suspicious of all bosses because you know that they're in this for some weird power trip. But anyways, just real quick back to TK. I'm like, you know, what do I do in order to like?
I think also here's something that's tough too. You guys went from being long distance to living together. So that's tough. I think it's like kind of like managing the expectations that you also, you know, you work a lot and then he's here. So he's going to, you know, find friends and then he'll eventually, you know, hopefully find some type of work that he'll be doing. So then that'll also, when someone first moves to the city, they're probably like, you know, he's probably looking to you more than he will once he gets settled in here. How is it with citizenship? Like, is that going to have to happen when you guys get married?
Yeah, we'll have to go down that road once we get married.
Oh, my God. Who's going to wear the dress?
Obviously me. But, you know, I think you're right. I think when he gets work and we sort of, you know, it's also been a week. That's the other thing,
too.
It's
only been a week.
So dramatic. But I get, like, in my head and get upset, and I think that that's bad energy to transfer to somebody else. So it's, like, up to me also to, like, you know what I feel like? I feel like a woman in the 50s where I'm like, keep the house clean. I have a family. Take care of the kids. Better have dinner on the table. But, you know, it's like I'm trying to manage all these things, and it's like I think I'm making it harder on myself than it actually is.
Does he seem happy? Is he content?
Yeah, he seems very happy. I mean, he said, he's like, you know, I'm getting nervous because it's like I'm not, like, I know I'm at home, but it's not my home, and, you know, I don't have my friends here, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, you know, you're far away from the life you know and people that you know, but
it's fucking
also,
hard.
It's like,
so hard. Do you remember moving to New York? Do you remember how hard that is? Oh my, I had one friend here, I had my sister here, but then I had one friend from dyslexic summer school, and having just one friend makes such a difference, and I'll never forget it. She's like, I know a bunch of lesbians, so we went out to a lesbian bar in Park Slope, and right when we get to the bar, like the most stereotype of all stereotypes, this lesbian literally like barges in, wasted, big girl, short haircut, barges in, and someone was like, that's the captain of the softball team, and I was like, oh my god, and they like turn, and the girl takes a glass and like shatters it in her hand, and she's like, why won't you go out with me? Other girl, and then they have to, like, you know, people were like, oh my god, and then she got out of there. But that was one of my first experiences of like gay culture in New York.
When I first moved to New York,
fucking girlfriends made out with that goddamn girl. I just remember a couple prides ago.
Can I please see your ID? You know, I think when I first moved to New York, I knew one person, my boss, who I went to school with, and that was it. But the thing about comedy, though, is like we kind of put ourselves already in an existing community. You just pop yourself in.
Exactly.
I mean, there's open mics, there's a community, there's shows. So you just sort of like almost like high school, like you're just shoved in together.
Does he need to go to friends? Are there any kind of support groups you could go to? Because like those are like nice community things. Like, is there like a community of like people from Spain? Like that, do they have like a luncheon?
Yeah, the people from Spain have a luncheon. It's called a Hunka Hunka Luncheon.
Hunka Hunka Book Club?
There's a book club. Yeah, we'll look into stuff like that, too. And, like, you know, I think it's just the first week. And
oh, my God. Moving is so hard. He literally moves very hard. Country. It's so hard.
Yeah.
And then also moving into someone's, like, apartment. Yes, that's, like, it's a whole, you know, big clusterfuck of a thing. Do you think that, I think that it's good that the things are done with Canadian Girl, just good for a lot of reasons, because also...
Yes, and some of us could have told you that by week one.
But then, so my question is this, though, but she's not in the wrong for feeling weird about the podcast. I wish she had just told me that's what it was.
Here's the thing. Neither one of you are in the wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? And here's why. Because you two hadn't established that you were girlfriend. You guys liked each other, you enjoyed each other, and you were both.
We'd even established we wouldn't want to do girlfriend. We were just like, look, I mean, also the other thing too is she's 24. I can't actually have a 24-year-old girlfriend. It was more about we enjoyed each other's company, we liked having sex, and we both have to travel a lot, and we work a lot, so it's a nice support system. That said, if we're going to be sharing a lot together, I need to be able to trust it, and it gets too fucking weird too quick. For both of us.
Yeah, I'm just going to say from her side, I get it. I get listening to that, and maybe
of course. Oh my God, Mateo, I was like, yeah, I want to get married. Like,
but that's fine that you said that. I mean, listen, anyone who can hear that and doesn't know that it's a joke, that's all
fine. But also, that's mean. If I tuned into something and my like person I was hooking up with was like, oh yeah, like I love her and I want to get married. And then I'd be like, oh wow, I can't believe they're saying that. And then I talk to them and they're like, no, I'm joking. I'd be like, oh cool, funny joke, face. Good one.
I don't think it's mean, but I think you could, I think you said it because you were excited. And that's where the feelings came from.
I was excited.
Yes. So I think if anything, it came from a good place. And you're on a show. You're an elevated version of yourself. You're performing in a sense, and you're excited, and you met someone new, and you got your mojo back. And those are the words that came out. I don't think it should be an insult in any way, and I don't think that anyone should take offense to it. I mean, if anything, it's a compliment. Just take it as a compliment.
Right. Yeah,
you have to worry about stuff like that, but
it was a good feeling. It was good because I literally was yesterday like walking around like feel your feelings, and I was like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm gonna feel uncomfortable.
I also am very proud of you for not going to drinking.
Yeah, and I like did a couple yoga moves. I didn't have a show last night.
You just like ran home. You're like, all right, downward dog, and done.
Yep, I was gonna go to a yoga class, and then I was like, I just like.
I get nothing from yoga.
Moves.
I get
I
nothing
it.
From yoga. Nothing.
I love it.
I feel
There's
like
always,
all...
I love it. There's always one person that like so extra in it, just doing like headstands and twirls like before the class started. And it's like, okay, just
it's
do this
saying like namaste, which I think just means like hello or whatever in Hindi. But...
Fortune Femster has the funniest joke about namaste. It's so funny. She's like, and I'm paraphrasing it, but she's like, you know, I'm from the South where we just string words together. So when I was in yoga and I heard them saying like namaste, namaste, I thought they were saying like nah, I'ma stay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'ma stay too. She's like namaste. Yeah, I'ma stay. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, I love her so much. She's the nicest person ever. Her and I hung out a lot in Aspen when we were doing Gay Ski Week together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah, I guess I'm being super insecure and I need to get over it. And you know,
I don't think you're necessarily being insecure. I think you should definitely. I think it's definitely like a stressor, not just having a boyfriend live with you, but having anyone all of a sudden live with you. You've lived alone for a while. You're in a studio apartment. Like it's like a big difference.
Yeah, this is my first time. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Living in a studio with someone is fucking tough too. Like even for the most functional of relationships, it's because in the beginning it's just like a fuck fest, and then it's like okay, you're just like you know, it's. It's hard without a door to close and some like if you want to like be private, you're like in the bathroom.
Right, like if I get angry, I just storm into the bathroom.
Right, like, all right,
the only
cool.
Door to close. Yeah,
I'll sit in the tub.
I'm gonna take a bath, and then they're like, well, I have to pee. You're like, God damn it.
Is he working out all the time? Like, where does like how's he like look that way?
Yeah, we're going to the gym after this.
Oh my God.
I know he's so handsome. He's just staring at his phone right now.
So I mean,
I keep asking if he wants to talk on the podcast, and he shakes his head no. That makes sense.
I totally understand. And we've got some questions to get to today. I feel like there was something else I was going to tell you, but I'm drawing a blank on it.
Donnie and Marie,
R2-D2? No. I was the victim.
Of what?
Mateo.
Of me?
No.
I was like, what did I do?
That was so cute. I was a victim. Of me?
Yeah.
That was so cute. No, I went in to get like my face waxed. So I've been into this place before.
Oh my God. Yes.
The time before she did my eyebrows like really dark. But I've gotten my hair cut in there before, and it's fine, and it's right across from where I live, so I'm like...
Were they Russian?
Israeli.
Okay, all right. Well, all right.
So I go in, and I was like, hi, I'd like to get my eyebrows done, but, like, don't not so dark this time. And she's like, okay. So then I go in the back room, and I was like, and I'd like to get them waxed and dyed. She's like, okay. So we do the waxing, and it hurt, but I was kind of like, eh, it hurts a lot. And then she does the dye after the waxing, and I go, ouch, this hurts. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's bad to do dye after wax. And I was like, cool. I mean, I didn't know that, like, but I can feel that in my fucking face. Like, it hurts. So I leave, whatever, give a tip. I'm a good tipper, motherfucker. So I leave. I'm trying to be less of a, now I'm going to be real, shrewd, a little shrewder with that. But so I leave. I'm like, my face hurts. I've got two shows that night. I was talking to the Canadian at the time. She's like, Emma, your eyebrows are way too dark. I went and saw my old roommate as part of my Get Happier program. So I saw her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, honestly, like, you know, I always keep it real with you. Your eyebrows are really dark. So I go back in, get them bleached. My face is hurting. I wake up the next day. I have burns on my eyelids, like burn, like raw burn all over my face. I go in and I'm like, what happened? And they're like, oh, she left the wax on too long. It wasn't just she left the wax on too long, but the wax was too hot. So I had fucking burn marks all over my face.
Oh my God. Emma, what does it look like right now?
Now it's better because I've been putting Neosporin on it, but I felt like when I was like a fat kid where I felt like trapped in my body and it wasn't like representative of who I was. And like, I felt like it was like that, but like my face.
I mean, I would fucking sue them. I would be so fucking pissed at them.
I was really annoyed, and I had to go to San Antonio that night. So when I went in, I was like, this is a big
Emma, annoyed is an understatement. Your face was burned. Annoyed is when you like are waiting in line at the grocery store. You should be furious.
I don't get annoyed when I'm waiting inside at the grocery store, to be honest.
Oh my God, I get annoyed if I wait for anything.
So I wasn't, but I went in and I was like, big problem. And then I showed them a picture of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and I was like, this is what I'm supposed to look like, which, okay, obviously I'm exaggerating. I only look like that with 10,000 pounds of makeup on.
Right.
But, and then I was like, I'm going to get a lawyer. They didn't even offer me a refund.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Nope.
Emma, you've got to at least talk to a lawyer or something. You can't walk around like Two-Face from Batman. I mean, you're on stage, for God's sakes.
I know. My face is better now, but...
Is it better now? I mean, you're putting a lot of... Because when you sent me those pictures, I literally thought, oh, God, what has happened to Emma?
Could you... I mean, yeah, I was like, look, like, having a kind of cute face, that's like, that's all I got over here, buddy. I was like, you know, like... Sometimes I work out, sometimes I don't, but I gotta, you know, my face is high. I need to stay that way.
If Rosie the Robot from LaGuardia was there, you would not have gotten your face burnt. She could have let you know it was too hot.
Yes. My mom, that's something my mom will say to me. She'll be like, you have a very nice face. You have a nice face. You know, you have a very pretty face. I'm like, Mom, I look a lot like you. She's like, yeah, it's nice. We have a nice face.
If I literally came to my mother and I was like 700 pounds overweight and like ripped out all my hair and did any like grew like 8 eyebrows and like somehow attached 20 nipples to my face, my mother would be like, you're the most beautiful boy in the world.
If you were like that though, what would be hard would you would be so fucking pissed about it that it would be hard to be around. That's the only reason to be like, because you would just be like, it'd just be like nonstop. Like, can you believe this? Can you believe? Like,
oh,
five eyes.
It would be a nightmare. It'd be a nightmare. A true nightmare.
Yeah, be like, this is. I'm surprised I didn't say this earlier. Did I tell you that I met Chelsea Handler?
I met her when I did Late Night with Seth Meyers.
No.
If I meet her, I literally was 3 inches away from her, and she said nothing to me.
This was what, so I met her, but I didn't, you know when you see someone and you know their face, but you don't know where you know them from?
Yes.
So, you know, we see a lot of comedians around in New York, especially at a comedy club. It's like, there's all these comics around. So it's like, you know someone, you're like, oh, they must be a comic I did a show with. There's a pleasantry, but you don't necessarily know where you know them from. So I'd had a really long day. It was last Tuesday. So I'd done morning radio, like at an audition podcast. I'm tired and I had hosted a show and I felt really bad about that show. So I'm upstairs with a comedian named Dave Attell sitting at a comedy club, The Cellar, towards the entryway. So we're just sitting there, and we're talking about the show, and we were both like, oh, that was tough. And then Chelsea Handler comes over with two friends. She's like, hi, Dave. He's like, hi. And then she says, hi to me. I don't realize who this is. I say, hi. Then she sits down, and then he's like, I'm tired. I'm going to go. So she's sitting across from me, and then her two friends are there. No one else has noticed her. And I'm kind of like, oh, is that Chelsea Handler? And then she's like, so do we know each other? And I was like, no, I thought I knew you. So I said, hi, like I knew you, but I don't. I'm Emma. And she's like, no, I think we know each other. And I was like, no, definitely not. And she's like, I'm pretty sure. And I was like, no, I know. But I was so tired. If I wasn't so tired, I would have been like, yeah, maybe. But
I mean, Emma, you're sitting across from Chelsea Handler. Why wouldn't you say like, yeah, maybe, you know?
Yep. Nope. I go, no, definitely not.
She looks good, doesn't she?
So it's great. I start talking to her friend, and then she's like, what are you guys talking about? And we're talking about skin cream. And then I was like, are you going up tonight? She's like, no. I was like, not tonight. And then she's like, did you go up? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I was just being so fucking normal that I was astounded by myself. I was like, yeah, but it was a tough show. I kind of want to quit show business. She's like, I get it. And I was like, yeah.
I mean, it's unlike the time that Amy Schumer called herself Amy Schumer.
But I was keeping it way – but this is the thing that I did that was dumb. Her friend's like, yeah, she's looking for an apartment here. And I was like, oh, there's great deals on the Upper East Side right now. And she was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, yep, downtown Brooklyn's way overpriced, though. And she was like, oh, cool. And then we talked a little more, and they were like, we're going to go downstairs. Are you going to come? And I was like, nope, got to go home. So I go home, and then once I got home, I was like, wait, why did I not just stay and fucking hang out? Also,
yeah, why did you hang out with them?
I don't know. I mean, it was just like a pleasantry on their part. So then I went back to the cellar, pretended I forgot my notebook, but then they had just left.
Yeah.
But how
I
weird
guess
is that?
It's very weird, and I think I have a celebrity to up you talking about competing with each other. But I interviewed Liam Payne.
Ooh!
Do you know who that is, one from One Direction?
Yes, now I know that. And an interview, this wasn't even like an interview. This was just like a very bizarre, this was just fucking weird.
Well, yours is a cooler experience because it was natural. Mine was on a television set, and I had like specific questions in 15 minutes. No, it's not exciting.
But it is exciting.
Now, he was really nice. He was
Mateo, One Direction.
He could live in a Polly Pocket home.
One Direction is huge.
Well, now there are multiple directions because they're all, like, individual. But he was really nice. I kept trying to, like, I keep forgetting how, like, I keep making jokes. And, like, the producers are like, don't make any disparaging jokes about, like, the nominees for the MTV Movie Awards. And I was like, you got it. And then immediately started making fun of Josh Brolin. But at one point I said a joke, and I hope I don't get attacked by the Ariana Grande fans. Liam goes,
I love Ariana Grande with all my heart. What did you say?
No, I love her too. And of course I make jokes about everybody, but he goes, he's like, well, I'm not going to say the name, but there was a very famous rapper who has been known to be stealing that type of music. And so I go, Ariana Grande. And you know,
that's funny.
Thank you. But then I'm like, oh God, her fans are going to come after me with a rage.
No, they'll know that you weren't talking about that. They'll know that. Wait, so what was he like? Like, did you shake hands?
He could not have been nicer. First of all, I expected him to be closed off and, like stupid. And that's horrible on me to expect that. But, you know, when you come from One Direction, you don't expect much. So, you know, and that's a horrible thing that I just said. I get that. But I'm just saying what I'm saying. So then when I met him, literally, I was like, hi. And he was so charming and well-spoken. He was like, oh, thank you so much for having me. A lot of fun to be here. You know, I've got to tell you. Like, he just was so, necessary. I mean, I was like, so we have a question. There was this girl. She was crying. And I was, before he came out, and I was like, what's the matter? She's like, because the producers have the girls ask, like, a question. But obviously, like, it's all set up. And so they were like, you know, she was like, the question I was supposed to ask, they said, doesn't sound natural enough, and I just came all the way from Texas to meet him. And I was like, all right, what's your name? She goes, Bee. And I was like, as in the bee, like the bumblebee? She's like, yes. I was like, all right, Bee, we got you. So the second he sat down, I was like, hey, Liam, this girl Bee over here wanted to say hi to you. And she's like screaming and crying. It's like, oh, hello, Bee, nice to meet you. But then I was so funny because I was talking to Kike. Like, it's kind of weird that I just like sat down with one of like the most famous people in the world, but because I'm not a fan of that music, like to me it's just kind of like meeting somebody normal. But like if that
right.
was Mariah or Lindsay Lohan or the Barefoot Contessa, I'd be losing my mind.
If I was meeting a boy band, I would be freaking out. Like I would have been like,
It's because it's been your goal in life to be in a boy band, Emma, and
also,
you need to admit it.
Definitely, and also the thing is, too, is it's like, there's no way, like, props to him for engaging with that, because there's, like, no way for someone to really engage, like, if someone's just screaming at you, there's, like, no way to be like, oh, hey, how are you doing? And then if they're still shrieking, like, what do you even, where do
you
go from there?
Now, see, growing up in an Italian family, I know how to deal with people just shrieking at you all the time.
That's good. That's good. You're well prepped. Because it's like, there's certain people where, for me, if it's someone in comedy, I mean, I got very flustered with Amy Schumer, but if it's someone, it's someone like a One Direction, that would be very like.
No, and if I met Christina Aguilera, I don't know.
You would hold it together for that?
I honestly think I would hold it together for every single person but Barbra Streisand and Mariah.
Liza. I love you.
Well, Mariah, I would just have so many things I want to talk to her about. None of them would be appropriate.
Mariah, I hope I keep it cool.
10 more minutes. Let's get to some questions.
We'll get to the questions, yeah. Ooh, I love the name of this first one. It's Bai in Mumbai.
I like this. That's the name of my book.
I recently attended my first Pride. Oh, side note, I won't be in New York for Pride because my family's doing a family photo.
I don't know what I'm doing for Pride.
Well, I would love to hang out and do something fun with you and Gail, but I have to take a family photo.
Just don't. Photoshop yourself in.
I have to, because I've missed the last three.
Send one of the robots from LaGuardia Airport in your place.
I know. Part of my Be Happier plan is me trying to be a better friend and better family member. And also a better goddamn girlfriend. Not girlfriend, fucking dater. God damn it.
All right, let's get to the question, because we're going to go back into a spiral of self.
Yes. Bai in Mumbai. I recently attended my first Pride. While I enjoyed the walk immensely, I also felt like an outsider because of cliques that already exist. All these people seemed to know each other well, and I ended up feeling a bit alienated when I thought this was supposed to make me feel the opposite. Have you ever felt that way? How do you guys find your people within the community? Thank you for creating this podcast. It really makes my day every time you put out an episode. Looking forward to your Netflix specials and everything else you guys do. Thank you so much.
That's so sweet of her. I actually have an answer to this. I totally relate. I think every single person who's queer in the LGBT community, or anybody in any community, can feel that way. When you're walking up to something that feels so established and so like everyone's in their place, it's hard to find where you fit in. But, you know, it's small steps. Like when I moved to New York, I didn't really find gay friends until a couple of years of living here. And it should happen naturally, but
what's gay friends? You mean, did you have like kind of gay friends?
Like friends who were not comedians. But I think even when I look back at my first Pride, the first Pride I went to was with straight people, my straight girlfriends, because I didn't have any gay friends.
Right.
And it, you know, slowly but surely I put myself out there and got to meet people and, you know, all it takes is one person to help you enter into a whole new world. But before you enter, before Kike goes, it sounds like a movie. But before you get there, you know, it just can feel intimidating. But just know, put yourself out there, go to different events. Not everything has to be Pride. Pride is overwhelming. It can be like literally a book club. It could be, you know, go to a bar on a Tuesday night. Anything. Just anything that will help put yourself out there. But it just takes one person to really sort of get you in.
Also, the other thing, too, is I think it's really in your head when you go to these things that everyone knows each other, because I really felt that way where I was like, oh, my God, like, everyone's, like, in this, like, big mix and or, like, there's all these, like, different segments. And there are a lot of people that have known each other for years and years, and then maybe someday that'll be you with your friends you've known for years and years. But it's, like, it's more – you're so not alone. Like when you go to something like that, there's also the added pressure of it's Pride. We're together. Everybody right now. Fun. And it's like, whoa, you feel like you're like almost missing something. So then that pressure makes you feel even more alone. But you're not, it's like kind of like just dislodge that and know that like you're there. So you're like a part of the whole thing. But I do that too, where it's like, you feel like it's like, you're not, especially cause like I'm not, it's funny. Like, ever since I started doing show business stuff, like, I'm a pretty serious person. Like, when I used to go out, I would be more fun, at least I think. Maybe not. I'd have to ask one of my friends from college that. But now, like, I'm just, like, kind of, like, serious. So, like, when I go to, like, big events like that, I'm usually more, like, kind of, like, thinking. And people will be like, what are you thinking about? You're being quiet or something like that. So I feel out of it because I'm not just, like, letting loose and, like, I'm too neurotic. I'm, like, and having a good time. I'm, like, in a quarter being, like, how am I going to, what am I going to do with my life? You know what I mean? So, like.
But so for those who are not in entertainment, I think that it definitely just is a matter of looking online, seeing different things, going out on dates. You know, sometimes dates lead to friendships, or there's so many wonderful things that you can do that will help get you connected into that community. Oh, wait. Hold on. Kike has something to say.
Hello.
Kike?
Hello, Mima.
Hello, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm pretty good.
Nice to hear that.
What are you guys
I was telling you to Mateo that I used to use Tinder to meet friends, to get to know people, like, make friends.
Would it work? Would they pressure you to hook up?
No. Well, at the beginning, yes, the people want to, like, going with another vibe, but you start to talk with them, and I don't know. I met my best friend from Madrid. I meet him in Tinder.
That's actually, that is a good idea, actually. Thank you too, because then it's a way to, it's just a place to also meet gay people. So you could even put on your picture, like, I'm here for Pride, like, looking for people to go out with.
For friends, exactly. I'm looking for friends, not for hookups.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Emma and I met. We met on a Tinder date.
Yeah. Kike has a beautiful voice.
Emma, when you and I met on a Tinder date.
Could you imagine?
And I was like, this isn't going to work. And the sex wires, was awful.
Yeah, some of the wires got horribly crossed. That is a good idea, actually, for Pride stuff. Just join dating apps and put on them, like, hey, I'm also here for friends. Like, that takes a lot of
time. Right, yeah. I think that's totally fair.
Maybe I'll do that.
All right, what's the next question?
Right.
Oh, we have to end after this question.
Right. Oh, wait. I just had it up, and then now I don't know where it is. And we'll just take the second to plug. We've got our live show on June 2nd, and also we did launch our Patreon, a soft launch. We'll do, like, a big launch.
Oh my God.
And all that.
Yeah, wait, we lost our Patreon, and I barely understand how it works, but we want to create content and do shout-outs and do all this fun stuff for you guys. So how do they find our Patreon, Emma?
Tyler will do a post on our Facebook page to it, and we're just figuring out, like, all the different stuff that we're going to do in it, but it'll be, like, video of the podcast, extra podcast, like bonus audio and visual content.
Yeah, and we want to be able to, like, you know, talk to you guys, and go to our Facebook
dating
page, you guys, because that's, like, where a lot of we hear a lot from you guys from there.
And we'll like redo, like, Tinder profiles, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the last question. I came out as a lesbian about 2 years ago and have been so happy and full. However, I've recently befriended a man, and our connection is really, really great. Our bond feels like the same level I had with my first lady and biggest love. She put first lady in caps. Very lesbian of you. We were out last month and got drunk, and I apparently made the first move. We hooked up, then spent the day together, and he said he liked me, but wanted to be respectful of my identity. Am I a traitor? A fraud? Sure, maybe I'm bi, but the definitiveness of my coming out led to some disconnections with family who said they think I may go back to being hetero. So if we end up together, which we have continued to see each other and it's still really great, I feel so shitty that they were kind of right. My question is, how do I navigate this? What would people think? Why do I care? Wow, great question.
I think this issue has more to do with people around her than her herself.
You have
what
to do with
doing
whoever
is
makes
fine.
You happy.
Right.
Exactly.
What she's doing is totally normal and totally fine. And if you like this guy, great. If it works out, amazing. If you end up being with a woman, great. You know, if your family has a problem with it, then whether you're with a man or a woman, your family has some sort of external problem regardless. And that
it's homophobic based on their part. So I completely understand not wanting to be like, okay, you guys were right. But they weren't right, because the reason they were right was devaluing your queerness, but you can still be just as queer as you were before, but now you're with someone that they deem works.
Right, like they'll need to understand too, just because you're with a man doesn't mean you're not who you are. I mean, you're still attracted to women, and that's something to be celebrated. So, you know, I feel like there's a conversation that can be had with the family. Let's say that these things work out with this guy. You know, she should still be able to sit down with her family and say, you know, with those things you said hurt me, and I don't want you to be happy for me just because this is a man. You know, like, I want you to love me and accept me for who I am, because that's what you should do, because you're my parents.
Right, exactly.
God, Emma, we're just solving world problems over here.
Yeah, that's a tough
one. Oh, you know what? Actually, Emma, I have a question, too, I wanted to read. Do you mind if I read it?
Please.
Okay. Hi, Emma Mateo. Big fans of your podcast. I am... Sorry, this is written weird. I am 63 years old, and I work with my sister. We're a duo act, and we've been working ever since 1965.
Is it Donnie and Marie?
We
just bring it all around.
How stupid is this joke? I was just going to say, I hate myself and my sister and this show. What do I do? P.S. I was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. All right, Emma, this was a really good episode.
Oh, I thought that really was something that someone had written in.
No, I made that up.
Oh, I thought from the beginning part, and then I thought you were joking in the whole thing. Oh, it wasn't. All right, well, have fun. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much. Keep writing in questions and stuff, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.